ஜெயம் விஷ்ணுபாத பரமஹம்ச பரிவிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தர சதஸ்வரி ஸ்ரீமான் அபய சரணாரவிந்த பக்திவேதாந்த கோஸ்வாமி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு ஜெயம். நித்யலீலா பிரவிஷ்டா விஷ்ணுபாத பரமஹம்ச பரிவிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தர சதஸ்வரி ஸ்ரீமான் பக்த சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு அனந்தகோடி வைஷ்ணவ பிருந்தக்கு நாமாச்சாரிய ஸ்ரீல ஹரிதாஸ் தாக்கூர்க்கு பிரேம் சகோ ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ண சைதன்யா பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீஅத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌரபக்த பிருந்தகி ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ ராதா கிருஷ்ண கோப கோபிநாத ஷியாமகுண்ட ராதா குண்டகிரி கோவர்தானிக்கு பிருந்தாவன் தாம்கி மாயப்பூர் தாம்கி மதுரபுரி தாம்கி ஜெகநாத்புரி தாம்கி துவாரகாபுரி தாம்கி கங்கமாயிக்கு யமுனமாயிக்கு துளசி தேவிக்கு பக்தி தேவிக்கு சாமவேத பக்த பிருந்தக்கு கௌர் பிரேமானந்தி ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ் ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ் ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ் ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ குரு அண்ட் ஸ்ரீ கௌரங்க ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் நமா விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ணபிரசாய பூதலி ஸ்ரீமதி பக்திவேதாந்த சுவாமி நாமினி நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவி கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணி நிர்விசேஷூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்ய தேசதாரிணி. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய சம்சார சாகரே மக்னம் தீனம் மாம் கருணாநிதி கர்மகிராஹ க்ரஹீதாங்கம் மாமுத்தர பவார்ணவால் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதாக்யோயம் ப்ரத்யக்ஷ க்ருஷ்ணமேவ ஹி ஸ்ரீகுருதோசி மயா நாத முக்த்யர்த்தம் பவ சாகரே மனோரதே மதீயோயம் சஃல சர்வதா த்வயா நிர்விக்னேனைவ கர்த்தவ்யம் தாசோஹம் தவ கேசவ பவே பவே யதா பக்தி பாதயோர்ஸவ ஜாயதே ததா குருஷ்வ தேவேஷ நாதஸ்த்வம் நோ யத ப்ரபோ நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் யஸ்ய ஸர்வ பாவ ப்ரணாசனம் ப்ரணாமோ துக்க ஷமன தம் நமாமி ஹரிம் வரம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்ய யதோன்வயாதிதரதஸ்சாத்தேஷ்வபிஜ்ஞஸ்வராட் தேனே ப்ரஹ்ம ஹ்ருதாய ஆதிகவயே முஹ்யம் தியல் சூரய தேஜோ வாரி மிருதம் யதா விநிமயோ யத்ர த்ரி ஸர்கோ மிருஷா தாம்னா ஸ்வேன சதா நிரஸ்த குஹகம் சத்யம் பரம் தீமஹி தர்ம ப்ரோஜ்ஜித கைதவோத்ர பரமோ நிர்மல் சராணாம் சதாம் வேத்யம் வாஸ்தவமத்ர வஸ்து சிவதம் தாவத்ரயோன்மூலனம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதே மகாமுனி கிருதே கிம் வாபரைரீஸ்வர சத்யோ ஹ்ருத்யவருத்யதேத்ர கிருதிபி சுஷ்ரூஷுபி தல்க்ஷணால் நிகமகல்பதரோர்கலிதம் பலம் சுகமுகாதமிருதத்ரவசம்யுதம் பிபத பாகவதம் ரசமாலயம் முகுரஹோ ரசிகா புவி பாவுகா சச்சிதானந்த ரூபாய விஷ்யோல்பத்தியாதி ஹேதவே தாபத்ரய விநாசாய ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய வயம் நம. யம் ப்ரவ்ரஜந்தமனுபேதம் அபேத கிருத்யம் த்வைபாயனோ விரஹகாதரமாஜ்ஜுஹாவாம் புத்ரேதி தன்மயதயத்தரவோபினேது தம் சர்வபூதஹ்ருதயம் முனிமானதோஸ்மி யஸ்வானுபாவமகில ஸ்ருதிசாரமேகம் அத்யால்பதீபம் அதிதிதீர்ஷதாம் தமோந்தம் சம்சாரிணாம் கருணயாஹ புராணகுஹ்யம் தம் வியாசசூனுமுபயாமி குரும் முனீனாம் நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் ஜைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவிம் சரஸ்வதிம் வியாசம் ததோ ஜயமுதீரயேல் கமனீய கிஷோர முக்த மூர்த்தே கலவேணு கொணிதாதிருதானேந்தோ மம உவாசி விஜம்பதாம் முராரே மதுரிம் ந கணிகாபி காபி காபி. நம ஓம் விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரஸ்தாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்திவேதாந்த சுவாமி நிதி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్తిదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత శంఖచక్రం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారకాం వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం. అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయదపత్రనేత్రాం యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం. ప్రపన్న వారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వౌపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథ జలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల. అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నది కైవర్తక కేశవాం. పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనా బోధితం. లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర వేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమ ఉపనిషదైర్గాయంతియం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాందం నవిదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. గోవింద గోవింద. యోంద ప్రవిశ్య మమ వాచమిమాం ప్రసుప్తాం సంజీవయత్యగిల శక్తిధర సుధామ్నాం అన్యాం సహస్తచరణ శ్రవణాం తుగాదీన్ ప్రాణాన్నమో భగవదే పురుషాయ తుభ్యం. భూదేర్మహద్భిర్యయమా పురో విభుర్ నిర్మాయ శైదయ్యదమోషు పూరుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మకం సోలం కృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వజాంసి మే. ప్రహ్లాద నారద పరాశర పుండరీక వ్యాస అంబరీష శుకశౌనక భీష్మదాభ్యాన్ రుక్మాంగదార్జున వశిష్ట విభీషణాన్యాన్ పుణ్యానిమాన్ పరమభాగవదాన్ స్మరామి. యశోదాదేవి బ్రాట్ ద రోప్ అండ్ స్టార్టెడ్ టైయింగ్ కృష్ణ, బట్ ఆల్వేస్ ద రోప్ వాజ్ షార్ట్ ఆఫ్ లెంగ్త్.
యా
నౌ here, unlike in the Vamanavadaram, Vamanavadaram Krishna increased the size, is it not? That didn't happen here. But same size has not changed. But the rope was not long enough. Even though she was trying to tie, Yashodadevi was trying to tie Krishna to the mortar, the rope was not of sufficient length. So, always there was the 2 inches short, what they're saying. So, that, what is it saying is that with our material conceptions, you cannot understand Krishna. With our material laws, you cannot understand Krishna. The rule should be that if 2 inch short length means if you bring another rope longer than that, it should be sufficient, but it's not. Just like that's how it is. Krishna's case, no rules apply. No rules apply as far as Krishna is concerned. So in Vamanavadaram, Krishna increased the size. Increased so much that Mahabali couldn't do anything about it. Krishna measured everything with 2 feet, the whole creation. And then he said to Mahabali that I have no space now. Where is the 3rd feet space, he said. So even time, space, all these things, limitations, doesn't apply to Krishna. This is the principle from this. Vamanavadaram, if you compare with this, Damodara Leela, you can see how time, space, measurements and all that doesn't apply to Krishna. He's outside all that. So, that's what it's saying here. Yadasi tadabinyunam tenanyadabisam tade tadabidvangulam nyunam yadyadadattabandhanam. 16th verse, right? Evam sugehadamani yashoda samthadatyavi gobinam susmayandinam smayandi visvidabhavad. They brought all the ropes what they had, but again not sufficient length. How would you explain this? In our normal experience, if you brought so much ropes, it should be sufficient to tie Krishna down, but it wasn't. They are bringing and adding the ropes, but it is still short length, right? And gopis are all laughing seeing this. And Yashoda is also not knowing what to say to them. Yashoda is laughing, gopis are also laughing, seeing the situation. Because they just don't understand what's going on, right? And they were smiling and at the same time, they were in a shock. How to understand this Maya? How to understand this Maya, Krishna's Maya? Yes. So, after saying all this story, when Yashodadevi realized that, I cannot tie him. It's not possible, right? And that is at that time Yashoda sat down there with supporting the chin with the hand. What to do now? I've tried and I wanted to punish him and tie him down to the mortar till I go and finish my work in the kitchen, whatever she was doing. And now she realized that it's not going to work. So she is in a thoughtful mood, thinking what to do. Gopis are also don't know what to say to her. They were also sitting there. So after saying all these things, Ishva Brahma, she says there that Krishna understood her Ahanda Mamata has completely gone. She has understood that there is a limit to everything. And she realized that at that moment Krishna agreed to be bound, saying that Shukha Brahma, she stopped the story there. And then he looked at Parikshit Maharaj's face, and what have you understood? Yeah, in a way, without asking the question, Shukha Brahma, she is waiting for an answer from them, without asking the question. So, and with that bhavam, he looked at Parikshit, right? Parikshit is thinking that, if you make me understand this, then I will understand. Otherwise, I won't understand this Leela, he said. Who Parikshit said to Shukha Brahmarshi, right? So, he also looked back in the same way. What am I supposed to say for this? How do I understand this, right? At that time, Shukha Brahmarshi said that 19th verse, you see. एवं संदर्शिता ह्यंग हरिना प्रत्यवश्यता सुवशेनापि कृष्णेन यस्येदं स्वेश्वरं वशे दैट प्रत्यवश्यता प्रत्यवश्यता मीन्स Krishna is under the control of a devotee, always. Devotee. And this is the same thing Krishna said to Durvasav also. Aham bhakta paradhina, he said. Aham bhakta paradhina. I am under the control of a devotee. So, although totally independent Krishna is, he is not under control of anyone, and under whose control this whole creation is working. Every living entity in this world, including Lord Brahma, and all other devas are operating under whose control? And he is the only controller of the whole creation and all the living entities, Prabhu, Master, that Krishna is under the control of the devotee. Just to show that, right? For all reasons, Krishna is controlled by the devotee. In the sense, that devotee whom Krishna says as a devotee, not our calculations, not based on our estimate. Like Krishna said, Niravaksham Munim Shandam, Nurvairam Samadarshinam, Anubrajamyaham Nityam, Puyaye Tyankrirenubhi, Egalashatkandam, to Uddhava. Is it not? That devotee, that's what Krishna is talking about. That such a devotee, Krishna is under their control. Like Krishna said that, isn't it? I follow them to take the dust from their feet and to purify myself. That much respect for devotees Krishna has, for pure devotees, right? So, so that's why with Durvasa, when he said, Aham Bhakta Paradhina, he said, I can't do anything about it because Ambarish is my devotee. And that is being again confirmed here. So then he says, many people are there who have received Krishna's mercy like this, whom Krishna has recognized as devotees. There are many great personalities, right? But Yashoda's position is unique. Why? Nemam virinjo na bhavo na shri rapyangasam shaya prasadam lebire gobi Yatal Prabha Vimuktidal. Then what Yashoda got here is something Lord Brahma hasn't got it. Even Lord Shiva hasn't got it. What to say, even Lakshmi Devi hasn't got it. And all this is spoken here to show the depth of love of Yashoda. Yashoda Devi's love, right? And Krishna has got accepted that here. Yeah? So it says here, Nemam Mirinjo, Na Bhavo, Na Shri, Apyanga Samshraya. In other words, the love of Yashoda Devi is beyond our imagination, right? Krishna has shown the response to Yashoda Devi's love in abundance, right? And that prasadam, what Krishna has shown to Yashoda, Krishna hasn't shown it to anybody else, right? Neither Brahma, Lakshmi, Lord Shiva, or even Lakshmi, it has happened. That means this is prasadam, isn't it? That what Krishna has shown to Yashoda, allowing him to be tied by the rope, right? So, that's what it is coming out, right? Then, what is the conclusion of all this? Nayam sukhapo bhagavan, dehi nam gobiga suta, jnani nam chalpma bhudanam, yadha bhakti matami ha. This is the final conclusion of this Damodara Lila. This 21st verse. Nayam sukhapo bhagavan, Dehinam gobiga suta, jnaninam cha alpa bhudanam, yadha bhakti matamiha. For people who are on the bodily concept of life, who are identifying with the body,
For them, Krishna is very far. Those who are identifying with the body. That's what it's saying here. Dehinam. Those of us, like all of us, like who are identifying with the body strongly, for us, Krishna is very far. Very, very far. And similarly, these people, Dehabhimani means morally in Tamogunam, isn't it? Dehabhimani means Tamogunam. And so for them, Krishna is far away. And even Yanis, who are in the Nivrtabhimani, that means they are already becoming free from the body, Yanis, even for them, it is not accessible. Krishna is not so accessible easily, right? Dehabhimani means identifying with the body. For them, it is impossible to get closer to Krishna, right? But Jnani's case is different. Krishna has recognized Jnani's in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Jnani twalpaiva me madam, Krishna is saying here, right? Jnani twalpaiva me madam. Jnani and me are non-different, Krishna is saying there, right? Krishna says, Jnani is my soul. And so one who is in that state, identifying themselves as Antaryami, or become free from the bodily identity, is my soul, Krishna says. Krishna has glorified Jnanis in 3-4 verses. Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyade Priyohi Jnanino Tyartam Ahim Sacha Mama Priya. All 4-5 verses are there. So already it is accepted. Krishna has accepted that Jnani Twalpmeiva Me Madam Astida Sahi Yukta Alpa Mameva Uttamam Gadim. This is all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So Jnani Krishna consider as his very soul, Krishna's soul, right? In other words, he considered Jnani as a parama prema aspadam. That means Krishna has abundance in love for the Jnani, right? To that extent, Jnani is dear to him. And Krishna has said this to Uddhava also. So, here Krishna is saying, Nayam Sukhapo Bhagavan Dehinam Gopika Sudha. For Jnanis, it is not possible to make the relationship with Krishna. It's not easy for Jnanis to make a relationship with Krishna, right? Earlier, as he said that, isn't it? Like a devotee. A devotee can make a relationship with Krishna. A jnani will find it hard. That's what he's saying here. Nayam sukhapo bhagavan, dehinam gopika sudha. So, this is why Krishna said that, what, in Bhagavad Gita, Aneka janma samsiddhyam tebi yadi parangriyam. That's all referring to more to jnani than the devotee. Aneka janma samsiddhyam tebi yadi parangriyam. After many, many years, lifetimes, he will come. But it may take a long time for him. Right? So, so in several lifetimes, if you have performed the jnana sadhana of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam and all that, and in that way, gradually, Jnani, or one who is performing Jnana Sadhana, starts experiencing Krishna inside. Yeah? But it's only possible after several lifetimes, Sadhana Anushtanam, or Upasana, that Jnani will be able to experience Krishna within himself as his very self. As his own very self, he will be able to experience Krishna. That means Jnani will take a long time to realize that, to realize Krishna as his very self inside us, Antaryami, right? But in a devotee's case, one who has surrendered to him, totally surrendered to him, and and developing a relationship with him in love and devotion, right, this process gets shortened. It makes it a lot easier for him. Jnani has to struggle very hard to get there, because Atma Samarpanam, with Atma Samarpanam and with Bhakti, when one takes to Krishna consciousness and surrenders and develop that relationship with him through anusandhanam, that means, what he means is, through Bhagavata Dharmam, after performing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, the nine processes, right? So, if you do that and perform the anusandhanam in that way, this is the best process for everybody to get back to Krishna. Yeah, and to get Krishna, the easiest process is this. That's what is confirming here. This is what is shown through Damodar Leela. Shukam Brahmarshi is saying this. Jnani himself, he is saying this, that this is the best process, right? So, Yashoda's case, you can see, she didn't study any Shastram, did she? Nor, she didn't have much of an association with great personalities. Nothing she has done, neither study of Shastram, Vedam or anything like that. And nor did she have a association of a jnani like, means that Shastra Vicharam, discussing Upanishads, discussing the Tattvam and all that. She didn't do all that, right? What was Yashoda's wealth? Yashoda's wealth was, she surrendered. She simply surrendered to Krishna, right? And she loved Krishna with her whole heart. And due to that love alone, Yashoda got Krishna as her very own, right? Atma labham, right? Everything she acquired simply through love. Simply through love. Therefore, the easiest process or easier process is bhakti, to get Krishna. Easiest process, bhakti. In this way, Yashoda went back to the, after tying Krishna down, she went back to the kitchen to do her regular work, whatever she was doing, right? Along, gopis also went with Krishna. Meanwhile, Kunti Devi, Kunti Devi had come, and Kunti Devi also went along with Yashoda to discuss the whole thing. And meanwhile, the gopas also came. They also arrived, right? And it was at that time that I mentioned Shishubala's mother has brought Shishubala with him. Shishubala's two hands dropped. Shishubala's mother understood that Krishna is going to kill Shishubala, because that is what the rishis have told her. When he appeared with four-handed form, they have told her, Shishubala's mother, when he sees the person who is going to kill him, he will be, his hands will drop. So when the hands dropped, two hands dropped, Shishubala's mother understood that Krishna is going to kill him. And that was the day, apparently, that Shishubala's mother told Krishna that you shouldn't kill him, my son. Krishna said, 100 offenses I will tolerate. As long as the 100th offense he speak against me, he will be gone from this world. And that was all known to Shishubala, that was known to Shishubala's mother, it was known to Kunti Devi, everybody. Everybody knew that, right? So, when the cowherd men came, at that time, Krishna got down from the mortar and started crawling again. And now, by this time, the mortar which was standing, it fell down and it has become horizontal. And he is pulling that mortar tied with the rope, Yashoda's rope. Krishna is moving towards two trees which were standing outside. So, there were two trees standing there, marud trees, they are saying there, marud trees. Huge trees next to each other, and they were standing there for a long time. And due to Srinarada Maharshi's curse, Kubera's children have taken that form. Nala Kubera and Manigriva, right? And they have become Kubera's children. They have taken these two forms of trees and they were standing there. The curse and other things is in the next chapter. But by now, 100 divine years is over. And they have been standing there like this for 100 years. 100 divine years, Samvatsaram they call it. Then they were given the memory. Why they were given? The trees were given the memory. Normally trees doesn't have any memory. But they were given the memory. So why they were had to become the tree form? Why they had to accept that? Even if we take any different bodies, different types of bodies, our memory can follow us in some instances if Krishna wants it. Krishna keeps the memory away from us about our previous lives, isn't it? He knows, but we don't know. That's the situation. That's what he told Arjuna also in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? I know all my past life. You don't know, he said. Arjuna is thinking, what's all this about? Previous lives. So, in the same way, it is true with not only with Arjuna, it's true with everybody, all of us, including the plants, trees, everybody. Why they are standing like that in the form of trees for hundreds of years like that? Their history Krishna knows, right? So, so even if we go and take birth in a tree body or plant or whatever it is, that memory of that will be there but not revealed to us. It's kept away from us, right? So, but when Krishna wants it, he can give it back to you, that memory of our previous life. So that's what has happened to these two trees. They suddenly realized who they were. And they were standing there for the offense they have made to Narada Maharshi before, long ago. And that time they were told that you will get an opportunity to see Krishna directly in Krishna's pastimes. And absolute truth will come as Krishna. And after 100 divine years, and Krishna knew exactly that day that 100 divine years has run out. And so he has to release them. So, and they will got the opportunity by Krishna's mercy to get released from the curse, from that curse. So, Krishna realized the time has come. And after all, they are trees, isn't it? They can't come to Krishna. So, Krishna had to go to them. And in this way, Krishna went to these two huge trees standing there and tried to get in through them, between the two. In that process, the mortar got stuck because it has become widened, isn't it? And he tried to pull, it won't cut through. Both the trees fell at that moment. And from there, Nalakavera and Manigriva appeared from those two trees. They appeared and they offered their obeisances to Krishna. Narada Maharshi, Nalakavera and Manigriva, after Sri Narada Maharshi cursed them and made them into trees, right? Then the stuti comes. Famous stuti in Bhagavatam. Nalakavera and Manigriva stuti, right? That is in the next chapter. That is the next chapter. You can see that. Krishnastu grahagratyeshu vegrayam madhari prabhu adrakshi darjano purvam gukhyagau danadal majau. Krishna thought at that moment the time has come to release them. Pura narada shabena vrikshadam prapidau madad nalakuvara manigriva idikhyado shriyanidau. Both these Nalakuvara and Manigriva are coming from very rich background, is it not? Kuvera's children they were. But due to that pride of wealth, due to that and Srinarada Maharshi's curse, they had to accept this body of the trees. Vrikshabhav. With that the ninth chapter finishes, right? So, sometimes people get this doubt that how is this possible that Jivatma and Paramatma can be the same? Always this question people ask, isn't it? How is that possible? Two, they want two, isn't it? They don't want one. So, is it possible it to be like that? How is that possible that we could be like Krishna? Is that possible? He says, right. So when we say that we are also becomes Krishna's identity, we get. Obviously, if we say other names, like we got our own names, isn't it? So if we say all these names, we know it's not Krishna we are talking about. Absolute truth, right? We are Chaitanyam. We are also, our Swarupam is Chaitanyam, right? Jiva is Chaitanyam only. Jiva is nothing different. Jiva is not the body, Jiva is also Chaitanyam, right? But due to avidya inside, that is taken away from us. That Chaitanyam identity, we have lost it. And we are identifying with the body. Identifying with the body, right? So, strictly speaking, we are pure Sachidananda Brahman, we also. And Vedam says this, all other Upanishad says this, Shastram all says this, that we are Sachidanandam. It's Shastram says that, right? And that is also, we are pure Sachidanandam. Like Krishna is Sachidanandam, we are also Sachidanandam, right? But unfortunately, we forget that. We have lost that connection, right? And now we are identifying with this body and we think that we are a person. This is the problem. We think that we identify with this body and we think we are a person, right? And this thing called a personality is not real. It's not a real thing, right? It is only a misunderstanding created by Maya. Maya has created this misunderstanding, right? And that's been there for a very, very long time. All the time we think we are a person, this identification, right? So in short, it's basically what we are is a misunderstood Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam misunderstood. That's what we are, right? That means we have forgotten our original identity and identified this material body made of five material elements as our identification. But strictly speaking, we are Chaitanyam. We are not matter or Panchabhautikam, right? So pure Chaitanyam is our identity. Krishna is also pure Sachidanandam, right? When we forgotten our identity, we became Vichitvabhimani or personality or individuality, right? And with that, our knowledge has gone. Along with that, knowledge is gone, spiritual knowledge is gone, and we became limited by the body, limited by the knowledge as well, right? And that means we have become helpless. We've fallen into a helpless state, right? Krishna is also same Sachidananda Sachidanandam. The difference is that Krishna has not forgotten his identity. Krishna always knows who he is. Pure Sachidananda Brahman he is, right? In this way, this Jiva and Ishvara, these two bhavam, is due to the power of Maya. Maya created this prabhavam. Maya prabhavam it is. It is Maya's prabhavam that these two forms were created, Ishvara and Jiva, in that way, right? Ishvara means he is powerful, all-powerful, full of knowledge, and unlimited opulences, pure Sachidanandam. And we, in our present state, is limited and helpless and Sachidanandam at the same time. We are also Sachidanandam, like Krishna is Sachidanandam. But in our present state, we are limited and we are helpless, we are dependent. And so this difference between Krishna's position as Ishvara and our position as Jiva is purely due to the Maya, Maya's impact on the Chaitanyam, right? So, this our present condition, means limited knowledge and identification with the body, all these things is due to the influence of avidya maya. It's not. Avidya maya's power, that is, that we are put into these conditions, right? And if you take the maya from us, what we are left with is only Sachidanandam. If they take the maya from us, our gross body is coming from maya, subtle body is coming from maya. If you take out all that, what is left behind is pure Sachidanandam, right? So, if we remove the avidya that is in us, then we also become pure Sachidanandam, right? Or Krishna Swarupam, Paramatma Swarupam, right? And then we realize that we are not personality anymore. Individuality or personality goes away. We acquire the same Paramatma Swarupam, right? And right now, we are identifying with the body so strongly that we feel pride about it. That I am this, I am that. All kinds of identities. We hammered on to us, right? So, that means the ajnanam or avidya has grown too deep inside. And Sachidananda Swarupam, we have lost it. And but even though we are still Sachidanandam, in bodham it is not there. In realization, it is not there. So, once that avidya, ajnanam leaves us, then we are also pure Sachidanandam. That's what he's saying here. Totapuri explains this. Totapuri is Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's guru. He spoke about it, right? He says that famous story this is. He spoke with Paramahamsa. He says this to him that a pregnant lion caught hold of a bunch of deer. They were running around, right? When she jumped to catch a deer, at that time the mother lion delivered the baby. And after the delivery, the mother died. It died. It so happened like that, right? So, what happened now? A small cub with all the bunch of deer around. So, those deers, they brought this, they accepted this as a part of their herd. This lion, the deer herd, right? So, what happened? Like the deer eats the grass, the baby lion, the cub also was eating the grass and grew up with the deer as a member of their family. In form and shape, everything different. But otherwise, in behavior and eating habits and all other habits, like a deer. Naturally, it will become like that. Brought up like that, isn't it? So, then living with the deer, it has grown up and become a big lion. Big lion. But still, the deer habits have not left. Still behave like a deer. When they were moving like that one day, another big lion came and attacked, came to them. And they saw this one lion among the group of this deer. So that lion thought that what's this? This is very surprising that a big lion in the middle of all the deer together, right? So he understood, that new lion has understood that he caught hold of this lion. At that time, this lion who was with the deer started crying like a deer and saying, "Leave me, I am just a deer, don't give me trouble," he said. "So, don't kill me." This lion is begging to the other lion, the visiting lion, right? So the visiting lion said to him, "Then you are not a deer, you are a lion, but he won't accept that." So what he did was, he pulled him out from the group, took him to a lake nearby, and he told him, "You look inside that lake," he said to the lion. This is a story, but to get the principle through, that's all. You don't have to inquire when it happened, where it happened, and all that. No asking such questions, right? So, he told him to look into the lake and see what happened. So, when the lion looked into the lake, and he looked at the visiting lion, he thought he is not different from him. He is one and the same. At that time, the big lion roared And immediately this line also rode straight away as a response to that, right? So then he asked him, have you understood who you are now? He says to him, with that misunderstanding is gone. So that means nothing has changed. He was in a lion's body earlier, now also he's in the lion's body. But earlier he was thinking he was a deer, and now he is thinking he is a lion, right? So, so from then on he became, behaved like a lion. Similarly, pure Sachidanandam in everybody, Atma is soul, isn't soul is Sachidanandam, obviously. Soul is Sachidanandam. That Sachidanandam, due to avidya, has taken this jiva bhava, has become the jiva. And and different times this jiva will go into different bodies and identify with that body, whichever it has reached, right? So, and then this personality or vyaktitva abhimanam, identification with the body, when it leaves, when will it leave? With the help of Guru, Shastram and Ishvara. Their help is required. Only with their help, through their mercy, when this avidya goes away, and when he realizes that he is also pure Sachidanandam, at that moment, the vyaktitva abhimanam or personality will leave him. Then nothing else is going to happen otherwise, right? So when the people ask this question, how can I be Brahman? How can that happen? So that is only because we are identifying at the moment with the personality. It is only because of that. And that is why they are asking this question. Because I am thinking I am a person, I am asking this question, I am a, how can I become Brahman, right? This personality is something that is forced upon us. It's not our original state, right? In reality, we are pure Sachidanandam. So, so in the same way, it is something like that lion which was with the herd of deer and who was crying and saying, I am a deer. That's how our present position is, right? So, so this misunderstanding, like the lion had that he is a deer, is in us also. That is why we are saying that we are identifying with the body only. We take all the other identities, isn't it? That's what it's called adhyasam, isn't it? Adhyasam means that once we have lost our original identity as pure soul, Sachidananda Brahman, that identity we have lost it. From then on, everything that comes to us is based on the body, one on top of the other. I am a Hindu, I am an Indian, I am this, I am that, I am a Muslim, I am a Christian. All these are identities imposed on this body only, only on this body, right? So, so even though the visiting lion told this lion that you are not, whatever he says, it's not possible for the this lion to accept it. It's not possible. It's finding it difficult, right? And he's not getting convinced, right? Still, this lion is saying, I am a deer, don't kill me, and crying, saying this. Even though he's a lion, he's still like that. So, so our original identity is Sachidananda Swarupam. This has to be convinced and accepted by, in awareness, bodham it has to come. Not intellectually. In bodham, in our bodham it has to come. Right? So, when we say that this is to be convinced, that when you say you are Brahman, aham brahmasmi, that's what it is, isn't it? Aham brahmasmi. That realization, that has to come in the prajna, in bodham. It has to happen. So, when you are a vyakti or individual, you are not in the Brahman state. You are in the bodily state, right? So, you have to say like this, that actually you are Brahman, but one who is identifying the body and living in that identity. Vyaktitva Abhimanam. Chaitanyam, which identifies with the body and living in that state, is Jiva or Vyaktitva Abhimanam, right? So, then the question comes, what about this world? is that Brahman, right? So the jagat or world what we are seeing, what is this world? It is a transformation of Maya, isn't it? Maya Parinamam it is, right? And in, even though this whole thing is Maya's transformation, Bhagavad Gita says that, it is Maya. Yeah. So, Bhumi, Ramana, Lavayu, all that things, right? In all of them, Krishna's presence is there. And also, that means Sachidanandam is present in this whole creation, right? If you remove the Maya from this creation, what remains is only Krishna's Shuddha Sachidanandam, pure Sachidanandam, right? So, in strictly speaking, in the creation, the world, if you look at it, actually what is present in the world is Maya plus Sachidanandam. If you remove the Maya from this, then what remains is only Sachidanandam. Even though it is Maya, why we feel it is real is due to the presence of Sachidanandam in that. And it is that Sachidanandam that gives reality to the creation, right? So, but due to the effect of Maya, due to that presence of Maya in the creation, we feel, we are convinced that this world is separate from Sachidananda, from truth, from Krishna. This is what Maya does to us. Maya makes us feel that the world is separate from Krishna. This depth of understanding is not there in any other philosophies, right? They do not, they are not able to, they can only go up to one level, saying that God is separate, world is separate. God created the world, God remains separate from this. This is not Rishi's concept. Rishi's never accepted that. Rishi's are saying, world is created by Maya. Krishna is present in the Maya, in this world. And therefore the world is real. Krishna is real, world is not real. Because the Maya has come from Maya, world is not real. But you are feeling the reality of this world as though it's real purely because of Krishna's presence in the world. Chaitanyam's present. Chaitanyam is more important, not the matter. So when that Maya gets removed, and then our vision also will change. If you remove the Maya, our vision changes, right? And when we are able to experience ourselves as pure Sachidanandam, every name and form in this creation goes away. And in that Namarupam, in every Namarupam, the presence of Sachidanandam, we will be able to realize it. We will be able to realize it. So, this Namarupalpaka Prapancham, that's what they call it. And to remove that Maya Vilasam from that, and in every Namarupam, if we have to experience the presence of Sachidanandam's presence in that Namarupam, before that, you have to experience our reality. It's only after that it is possible. Before experiencing, removing the Maya or Namarupam, and remove the, from Namarupam to remove that Maya part, and to experience the presence of Sachidanandam in that person or in another entity, we have to realize, remove the this avidya from inside and realize our identity first as Sachidanandam. Only after that you can realize the Sachidanandam in others. That's the way it works. First we have to realize within, and then you will realize after that that everything else is the same Sachidanandam elsewhere. Right? So, for that purpose only, sadhana. And through sadhana, Guru, Ishvara, Shastram, through three things, with their help, when you experience that within, then you will realize the Paramatma Swarupam, the world also you will realize it as Krishna's manifestation. So, the world what we see now, that is not Krishna. That is Maya it is. What? Because that's all we are perceiving, Namam Rupam. That's all. That is not Krishna. That is Maya it is. Right? But Krishna is hiding behind that. In that Namarupam, Sachidanandam is hiding in the Namarupam, right? And that is Krishna. So Namarupam is Maya Vilasam. Namarupam is all Maya Vilasam, names and forms, all Maya Vilasam. Actually, what creation is a combination of these two, Krishna and Maya together, right? Maya is Mithya, Krishna is Satyam. Krishna is Satyam. So when we remove that Maya, which has taken control of us, or if you remove that Maya from the world, then you can experience Krishna in the creation also. In the creation also. That's all. Then we go into the next chapter, the 10th chapter. Yeah. 10th chapter. Krishna goes through these two trees and pulled both the trees down. And these two great personalities came in, Nalavera and Madigriva. Rajovacham Kathyadam Bhagavannedattayo Shapasya Karanam Yatat Vigarhidam Karmam Yenava Devarshestamam. Shukabrahmashi, Parishit Maharaj says to Shukabrahmashi that how come Narada Maharshi cursed somebody? How can he get angry? That is Parikshit's doubt. Narada Maharshi is supposed to be a great personality and pure devotee he is. Best among the devotees who wrote the Bhakti Sutram and all that. So does he also get angry then? You're supposed to have total control over the mind and you don't have ragadvesham and anger and all that, right? So how come anger means tamogunam? When tamogunam comes, anger comes, right? So can tamogunam attack Narada Maharshi? This is what implied in that question. And what created this situation? That he got angry and he cursed Nalakuvera and Manigriva. What was the reason behind that? He wanted to know that in detail. Our Parikshit Maharaj. So Shukabrahmashi says, Rudrasya nijarav bhutva sudruptav dhanadalpmajav kaila asobhavane remye mandaginyam madolkadav varuni madiram pitva madha ghornidalochanav stri jane anugayagbis charadu pushpidevane. Narada Maharshi won't get angry for a small reason. Simple reasons, right? Normally he's in a very peaceful state. So they must have done something seriously wrong against him, right? So Shukabrahmashi says, Kubera is Lord Shiva's Parshada. His associate, is it not? Dhanada, he is called, means he owns all the wealth. And Kubera's children are these two, Nalakubera and Madigriva. They are also Parshadas, Shiva's Parshadas, right? Associates, which means that unlimited opulences. They have unlimited opulences by birth itself. They were born into that rich family. They were born. So, because when you have so much wealth behind, there can be pride. There can be proud also. In a natural way, it comes to them, right? And due to that, ahangaram, madam, madhangam, they say. Ahangaram comes, right? And due to that, they will do what they want. That sort of uncontrolled behavior. So they went to the gardens in the heavenly planets, right? And naturally, sense gratification, they got attracted to. And very much addicted to women. Attraction to women, and attachment to that. So what it is indicating is that what all can happen with wealth, the problems that can come from wealth, right? Due to excessive wealth, what all kind of degradation can come in life, all that has happened to them. To Nalakavar and Manigriva. Remember this, when Parikshit Maharaj killed Kali, at that time, Kali told Parikshit, I am your subject, is it not? So, but therefore you shouldn't kill me, I am your subject. But I will stay wherever you want me to stay. And Parikshit told him, these are the four places you can stay. Remember? Dyudam Bhanam Sriya Sunam Yatra Dharma Chaturvidhaha. So wherever these four things happen, Dyudam Bhanam Sri Sunam. Yeah. All devotees know that. These four places. Isn't it? So gambling, meat eating, illicit sex and intoxication. So due to these four things, adharmam will come. Adharmam will come. Because of that, right? Smayam, Sangam, Madam, Maunam. These are the adharma, which comes from this four. Dyudam, Panam, Sriya, Sunam comes Smayam, Sangam, Madam, Anurdam. Anurdam means cheating. And Madam means pride. And Sangam. And smayam, meat eating turns into violence. And gambling turns into lying, cheating, all these things, right? So these four things are adharmam, adharmam, the four pillars of adharmam. And dharmam has also four legs. These are the four legs of adharmam. Similarly, dharmam has also four legs. What are they? Satyam, Shaujam, Daya, Tapasya. These four things, right? The four legs of dharmam. And the result of that is, adharmam can happen. Ahangaram is one of that. Then asatyam is another thing. Avivegam and vishayasakti. Sense gratification. Sense enjoyment, and lack of discrimination, and cheating. So with these four things will happen. With these four, the other four things will happen. Wherever the ahangaram goes up, increases, or if you see that in someone, or in one whom excessive sense attach, sense enjoyment habit you find, or when you see in someone lack of discrimination in doing things, not able to discriminate things, in such person, only in him all these things will enter. These things will enter. So these four locations, Parikshit Maharaj gave it to Kali, right? That we can remember in the first canto itself, it was spoken, right? So at that moment, Kali is a businessman. Kali negotiated further. He said, that's not good enough, I need something more. It is at that time, Parikshit gave him this. Jadarupam adat prabhu, that wherever a lot of gold is present, which means a lot of wealth is present, you can stay there as well, apart from the other four places. Apart from the gambling centers and slaughterhouses, and alcohol, dyudam, panam goes away, and prostitution goes on, in those places you can stay. But then Kali wanted further. So he negotiated and got an extra, that wherever there is a lot of wealth, also you can stay there. So that is what is coming out with our people, our man. Jatirupa means gold, right? Means wealth, right? So adharmam has taken a form, and that is gold. We all love it, but its actual original form is adharmam it is. Adharmam taken a form and came, that is gold. And once it is a lot in within our control, and you can see throughout the history, if you look, people who have done the maximum adharmam are those people who are hunting for the gold. They went all over in the world looking for the gold, and they acquired gold, and in that process they have committed a lot of anartham in this world. Slaughtered and butchered people and created havoc in this world. All because of that thing called gold. Is it not? So even Bhikshu agreed on that. Bhikshu realized that at the end, and he said that it is the location where Kali, because Parikshit is told you can stay there. So these four adharmam, dudam, pana, sriyam, sunam, these four things can only happen if it is supported by gold. Money is required for all the four. Dudam, panam, sriya, sunam, if he wants to have, you need money, isn't it? Without money you can't have. For a poor man, this problem doesn't exist. He is not having this problem. He is just struggling to get his food for the day. So his mind won't go into these things. But one who has no anxiety about food or other things in about survival in this world, naturally they won't do such attraction, won't be there, right? So, so Aishwaryam or opulences is this gold, right? For example, a person who is maintaining his life in this world, struggling to maintain in this world, right, and is working very hard, he may also have attraction for making money. Dyuda asakti, gambling, he may have attraction for that. Similarly, he may have attraction for pana asakti, to drink. This is all may be there, right? So, but stri sakti, attachment for women, and the other two, asatyam, to tell lies and all that, won't come in him so much as in the person who has got a lot of wealth. The wealthy one, he is doing the big cheating in this world. If you observe, you can see that also. They are the people who are thinking and manipulating others and using. They have the biggest problem. The ordinary person who is working in this world, as long as he is getting his food and a place to sleep, he will hold truthfulness more than the wealthier person. So an ordinary person won't have that tendency. He may have attraction for dyudam, that means for gambling, to get wealth. He may have attraction for drinking, panasakti. Those two may be there. But this other two, stri sakti, attachment for women and attachment for being not truthful, you won't find in them. They'll be much more will be truthful, and they'll be more they'll follow the dharmam rigidly with the women's case and all that, right? And they will live in this world with what they have got and be satisfied with that, right? So that is the nature of an ordinary person who is working hard in this world to live, right? So when there is wealth, a lot more than what you need for your living in this world, that is when this problem comes. Which one? The out of these four, dyudam, panam, sriya, sunam, you get attracted to all the four when there is a lot of wealth, right? So, when you are completely caught up in that, then he gets destroyed in that process. So, for these are all anartham, isn't it? They are called anartham. So, all anartham, its cause behind that is excessive opulence, more than what is required, right? So, due to that excessive opulence, these problems all happened. All the problems happened to them, right? These four things, Dyudam, Payanam, Sriya, Swanam, all the four happened to Nalakavera and Manigriva. You can see that in the story. They got drunk and they were associating with the women, and Sriya, Swanam, and they wanted to enjoy food also in that way, right? So, they got drunk with these women, and they were thinking like that. They wanted to remove their clothes and play in the in that gardens, in the lakes, right? And it was at that time Narada Maharshi appeared there. When Narada Maharshi arrived there, the women immediately took clothes and covered themselves, right? Because they knew, they were frightened about him, that it's a rule that you don't go naked into the water like that. So they came out of the water, took the clothes and covered themselves and stood there, right? So our Nalakavera and Manigriva, they didn't do it. They stayed in the water fully naked. They didn't feel being disrespectful to Narada Maharshi, right? They didn't show any respect to Narada Maharshi. Fully naked, they stood there and they continue playing with the water, which is right. So, anyway, they didn't cover themselves, at least. They didn't show any respect to Narada Maharshi, right? So, by then, they were drunk. And therefore, they were not in their right frame of mind. They are completely out of control, in other words, right? So, that too, this is being done in Ganga River, that too. Patita Bhavani she is it not? Ganga is for purification. And there they are doing this, right? So, when Narada Maharshi saw them, Narada Maharshi thought himself, how far they have degraded. These two, how far they have gone down, and he felt very hurt, he felt very painful, sad, seeing this, right, their behavior. So he decided that I have to reform them, right? So in order to reform them, he showed anger. Actually, he was not angry inside, just to reform them like you do with the children, isn't it? When you reform the children, you show anger to them. But within your mind, you don't have any hate or anger towards them. Only for their benefit, you have to show anger at that time. So showing that, just like the parents do to the children, that inside, Narada Maharshi has compassion for them. Because they are children of Kubera and also associates of Lord Shiva. And this condition has happened to them. Only for one reason, that he wanted to reform them, and for that purpose, through his good heart, outwardly he showed anger, but internally there was nothing. And it is the same like this, that Mahatmas, when they show anger, that it is only because of their compassion towards the Jiva. Compassion to the Jiva. So, in order for them to change their habits for that purpose, that they will chastise them like this. And sometimes they will beat them up also, but depending on the situation, right? So he didn't feel any anger towards him. It was just he was displaying anger. And in a very grave and serious mode, he spoke to him. Look at the verse 3, Narada Uvacha. Na hyanyo jushado joshyan buddhi bhramsho rajo guna srimadad abhijatyadir yatra stri dyudamasava. For a bogi, one who is having a lot of bhogam, sense gratification, right? For him, what comes from Rajoguna? Krishna is saying this every time about Rajogunam, isn't it? Due to the presence of Rajogunam, Aishwarya Madam, pride comes due to wealth, right? There is nothing worse than that. Yeah? Other things coming from Rajogunam, Abhijatyam, that means born from a higher family and all that. And similarly, that Ahankaram that comes up from that. Then Vishayalambadatvam, that means sense gratification. All these things, they are not as dangerous as this Aishwarya Madam. Sense gratification and Vidyabhyasam due to education, the Ahankaram comes from that. Neither of them are not as dangerous as the Aishwarya Madam, right? Aishwarya Madam is the worst of all, that due to opulences, feeling that pride, because it creates bigger problems. Yeah? Krishna says this, isn't it? Kamayesha krothayesha rajoguna samilbhavam. Bhagavad Gita, right? Kamayesha krothayesha rajoguna samilbhavam. And in the Bhagavadam Ekadasya Skandam also Krishna says about Rajogunam. Ahamit yanyadha buddhi parmatasya yadakhrati ulsarpadi rajo goram tato vaikariyam mana. What Rajogunam does is, it makes us very emotional inside. And this Aishwarya Madam, and that can lead into, because Aishwarya Madam leads into other four, which one? Dyudam Panam Sriya Sunam. It's the Aishwarya Madam that is causing that. Purely because of that. Yeah? So, that is not as dangerous. The other things are not as dangerous as this Aishwarya Madam. The pride that comes from excessive wealth. So, in this way, Aishwaryam or opulence is the root cause of all adharma. All adharma, right? And this is the reason rishis have put a stop on that. That in spiritual life, that will cause a lot of disaster. Therefore, to renounce. For this reason only. Because Aishwaryam will create big problems in life. And so therefore, what happens is, you lose your power of thinking, discrimination power. You will lose that. Avivegam, it's called, power of discrimination. And when you are proud with Aishwaryam, opulences, he loses his capacity to think what is right and what's wrong. That capacity goes away from him. He becomes very indiscriminative, right? So, whatever damage created by Aishwaryam, opulences, this Viveka Rahityam it's called. That means, he becomes totally loses all his sense of making the right discrimination. In life, one should know what's right and wrong, isn't it? One should not act in a way creating trouble for others or disturbing others' life. All these things, one should be conscious of that. And that thought will go away from him if there is so much opulences in life. Right? So, all other problems that comes from Rajogunam are not as harmful as this Aishwarya Madhav, right? So, for example, a person who is in Rajogunam, he likes to eat well, very nice food, and he enjoys that. He is not going to give so much trouble as much as this Aishwarya Madhav, right? So, one who is a Rajoguni and who has got that Bhogalambadatva means the propensity for sense gratification, right? His maximum problem what he will face in life will be from this Aishwarya Madhav, opulences, wealth, right? So there is no anartham like Aishwarya Madhav, anything else like Aishwarya Madhav. There is no other anartham like the Aishwarya Madhav. So all others are also anartham, but they are not as harmful as Aishwarya Madhav. That's what he is saying here. Nahi anyo jushato joshyan buddhi bhramsho rajogunam srimadad abhijatyadar yatra stri dhudam asava. Right? So, for example, education one has, vidyamadam it is called. One, people feel all that, isn't it? They've got so many degrees to write after the name. They feel that they have done something big in their life. So, due to that, there will be some pride. That is called vidyamadam, due to education, right? Or Abhijati Madam, born in a higher family, connections, big connections, social connections. That's all Abhijati Madam. So Vidya Madam, Abhijati Madam, all these things, they won't create this much damage what Aishwarya Madam does. Aishwarya Madam creates these four anartham. Which one? Dyudam, Panam, Sriya, Sunam. It leads to that at the end, right? In the third canto, Vidura and Uddhava Samvadam is there. At the end of that also you can see, this is spoken, right? The same thing is spoken there, right? Vidya, Abhijatyam, Dhanam. These three things. Due to these three things, the Kauravas were feeling proud about that, and they deviated from the dharma. There you will find that mentioned. Vidyamadam, Abhijatyamadam, all of them are not as harmful as Aishwaryamadam. Vidyamadam is there. Similarly, Abhijatyamadam is there. Srimadal Abhijatir Yatrastri Dyudam Asava. But this Aishwarya Madam, they don't create so much problem, or they are not such a big anartham compared to Aishwarya Madam. And Aishwarya Madam is the highest anartham, right? Similarly, due to attraction for sense gratification, right? Aishwarya Madam, due to attraction for sense gratification, they are not as harmful as Aishwarya Madam. Aishwarya Madam degrades a person to a very high level. That means he falls down in a big way with Aishwarya Madam, in a big way. So that's what he's saying here, that Dyudam, Panam, Sriya, Sunam, these four adharmam will come from Aishwarya Madam and it will drag him down further in life, right? That means the fall will be big. He'll fall in a big way, right? In other words, we go into the path of adharmam in a big scale, right? So these four things, Stri Sakti, Dyuda Sakti, Himsa Sakti, and the asatyam, all these things, will capture him, right? And he will fall down. That means you cannot fall further from that. You have gone, he will hit the bottom, in other words, right? So, Aishwarya Madam creates a problem, right? So, Hanyande Pashavo Yatra Nirdayai Ajidalpabhi manyamanairimam deham ajaramrityunashwaram. Due to that Sri Madam, what happens is, it's only because of that, they think they're, even though the body is temporary, our own body is temporary, they think due to this Aishwarya Madam that old age won't come and death won't come. This thinking will come because of the wealth inside, right? And due to that, you'll become very not compassionate, cruel to other living entities. And due to that, you will engage in sinful activities, killing animals, killing other living entities. You will be merciless, in other words. You'll become merciless. It's a subsequent effect of this Aishwarya Madam, becoming merciless like that, right? And you're thinking that even though this body is temporary, you can make it stay forever. These kind of thoughts will develop inside. Due to that, for the sake of protecting this body, due to Aishwarya Madam, you will engage in very gross sinful things. You will engage in gross sinful things, right? So, so this illusion comes to them, that due to this Aishwarya Madham, Jara, Mrityu, these things will not come, and you will be able to maintain this body forever, and therefore they won't have any consideration in killing this, slaughtering these poor animals, birds and all that. Without any compassion, they'll kill them, right? And similarly, initially animals, birds and all, they don't bother. And they also won't have any problem in killing human beings also. Even devotees or pious people or ordinary people who are living in this world, they won't feel any kind of, they won't feel bad when other people are getting killed. You can see that in the world, isn't it? The big, big political leaders, they talk big, big things. But when it comes to their own nature, you can observe that thousands and thousands of people are getting killed in all these butchering slaughters in their war, and they don't feel anything bad. They're busy with their election and getting become the president. That's what bothers them. They have no compassion for anybody. So many wars are going on, so many people are getting killed, and still, where did this mind come like, become like this? Due to the Aishwarya Madam, what has happened, right? So, and killing the animals and all, to even though there is sufficient food to eat otherwise, they will slaughter these poor animals, right? In order to satisfy the tongue, right? So, similarly killing people also. So, Gohatya, Brahmahatya, all these things, right? So, Aishwarya Madam leads into all these things. Aishwarya Madam, right? And they are thinking that this body will stay forever, and for the sake of body and protecting the body, and to satisfy their tongue, they kill the animals and give trouble to anybody in this world to protect their interests in that way. Generally, if you are conscious that you are going to die one day and the body is going to go, you won't have that aggression towards other living entities, isn't it? But in societies where you find this, they take this life so seriously that they'll go to any extent to protect their interests. It's all coming, and that is in the rich, wealthy nations. They have that problem more. So, due to Aishwarya Madam, what happens is that very severe sinful activities comes out from that. So, whatever we say about this body, right, it is meant to go one day and become the food for the worms or the dogs, or burn into ashes, or worms will eat them. That's all this body is worth at the end, isn't it? So, and in four different ways the body can go. Either you burn them, turn into ashes, or the animals will eat them, or the worms will eat them. And so if it is burned, it turns into ashes. Worms eat and it becomes their stool, right? And when that is the ultimate destination of this body, why should we protect it to that extent? Why should we? Whatever you do, you can't change that. That rule is fixed. That's not going to be changed. Anyone, doesn't matter, when the death happens and the body turns, life gone, or Chaitanyam leaves the body, and that body in a few days or a few months, it's finished, it's gone. Either way, either ashes or a worm in the stool, worms eat them and become the stool, or animals eat them. And in this way the body is disposed, is it not? So, such people who don't have any awareness of all these things and giving pain to other living entities, right? They have no idea of life and what this goal of life is. Such things never gets into their head. They don't have time even to think about all that. They are completely absorbed in these things, right? And what we talk about purusharthams, isn't it? Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, all these things don't apply to them, to those people, right? And they are also not aware that what is likely to happen after death. They don't even think about that, right? So, if they are conscious of all these things, that there is a life after death, there is a soul, and all there is hellish conditions, you may have to accept lower bodies and suffer through all that. If you have some awareness of all that inside, you won't go in that direction. You will be a little bit restricted, isn't it? So, but that is not there in them. And so, vivegam, or discriminatory power, can go if a lot of opulences comes in life, right? So, that is what he is saying here. This ahankaram inside us, right? That ahankaram in a solid form, when it becomes, it's called madam. That's what that word is, madam. So, you can see all this is spoken in the next few verses, right? Hanyande pashavo yatra nirdayai ajidalmabhi manyamanairimam deham ajaramrityunashwaram. In this temporary body, thinking that there will be no death, there will be no old age, and they cannot control their senses also, it is these people who are killing others, other animals and all that, right? Only because of one thing, they have this illusion in their head that this temporary body, they can keep it permanent. They can make it permanent. I know we don't think in that direction so much, do we? Normally we think that body will stay and we will fight it out as long as we can. But at the end we lose. Everybody loses at the end. But that's the way it is, right? Devasam idam apyande krimivil basmasam idam bhudadruk talkrde swartam kim veda nirayo yataha. In this body, it is eaten by worms, or it has become food for the animals and it becomes their stool. And then, or if it becomes food for the fire and it is turned into ashes, right? If you don't burn it, it will become worms. If you burn it, it becomes ashes. If some living entities eat them, then it becomes their stool. So, and if this is the destiny of this body, then one who is torturing other living entities, he will never able to realize the goal of life, if this is the situation, right? And due to that, he allowed to upgrade, go into hellish planets, right? This body, this is all Narada Maharshi's words, right? Narada Maharshi is saying these things. Whose is this body? Narada Maharshi is asking the question. This body belongs to so many people. And therefore, identifying with it doesn't mean much. Why? He says, the body, deham, kim annadadusum nishetur maturevacha, madur pidurva belina, kredur agne shinopiva. How do you know whose body is this? Who owns this body, right? Somebody is giving you food. Is that his body then, because he is giving the food, right? And because father and mother has looked after this body for some time and they looked after and maintained it, does that mean it belongs to them? Yeah. Or if you have been sold as a slave or something, is that his body then? Or does it belong to the fire who consumes the body at the end? Or if some animals who eats them? So who does it this actually body belongs to? Whose body is this? Is it? Evam sadharanam deham avyakta prabhavapyayam kovidvan almasal kritva handi jandu onrade asataha. This body has come somehow. Avyaktam. Deham avyaktam prabhavapyayam. From avyaktam it has come. We don't know the reason, how it has come. We don't know at the moment. In our present situation, we don't know where the body has come from. And similarly, when the body disappears also, we don't know where it's going. It's an unusual phenomenon, isn't it? This body. From where it has come, we don't know. And where it's going, we don't know. In middle, it is there. And we identify with that. And we live in this world in that way, right? And we think that we are that body. And then due to that identification with the body, which we don't know where it came from, which we don't know where it's going either, in between this form is there, and we identify with that. Who else will do this exomota, he says. Ko vidvan atmasad kritva handi jendo nirde asataha. And such a person, when this is the situation, only an ignorant person, mudha, will go and give trouble to other living entities when this is the situation. That's what Narada Maharshi is saying there, right? So, basically, he is pointing out through this Nalakavera Manigriva, the lesson to learn is this, that Aishwarya Madam created this problem for Nalakavera and Manigriva, right? So, Aishwaryam, Ahangaram, Avivegam, and due to that, madam came from that. So, madam means the solid form of the ahangaram. Ahangaram in its solid form is called madam, right? And when madam comes, ahangaram is there in everybody. That's what the jiva is, ahangaram. But ahangaram, when it becomes very powerful or becomes solid, then it becomes madam. And he identifies with that body, and due to that dehabhimanam, identification with the body, he will, next thing what he will do, he will give pain to others, trouble to other living entities, right? And such a person cannot have any understanding of the goal of life. Narada Maharshi is saying that. You won't have any understanding, right? So, Buddha Droham, or giving pain to other living entities, yeah? Due to that, one will have to face the hellish life later. That awareness, he will never get it. He won't have any compassion for, we lose that quality, compassion for other living entities from inside. What suits me, I'll do. If you die, it doesn't matter, as long as I am happy. This mentality comes from that. Yeah? So, again, talking about this Aishwarya Madam, right? He loses all this power of discrimination, and Aishwaryam, when it builds up a lot, then Dehabhimanam, identification with the body, will increase. And he will think that this body is permanent, and that kind of illusion comes to him, to maintain the body at any cost, right? So, so Maharaja Maharshi is asking there this question, that people who are living that Aishwarya Madam, they may not be able to understand the goal of life. That's the problem. When they are so much opulent with wealth, talking to them about the goal of life, it will be very hard for them to understand it. We can see that in life, isn't it? In life it is like that. Only when our ahankaram goes down, that is only the time when you are able to give some attention to Bhagavatam. Also, you will find some serious message in the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, when you read Bhagavatam, this is all just stories, you just ignore it completely. You won't care for it. But only when our ahankaram inside, madam, comes down, and we feel that there is something there's some problem here with me, I have to think like that. When I become conscious of my own problems, that problem is with me, not with the world, that's the only time you can start listening to Bhagavatam, right? So, so they forget that this body can go any time in life. Yeah, they forget that this can happen. Dehabhimanam becomes heavy. Identification with the body. So, and now you're calling this body born in a wealthy family or aristocratic family and this and that. But that same body, when the death comes, it becomes a stool, ashes, or the food for the animals. In one stretch, it happens straight away, right? So, that is what he was saying there. Deham kim anadadusam nashektur madhureva cha. Madhur Pidurva Belina Kredur Agne Shunopiva, right? Whose is this body? That's a question, right? This is a big question. Whose is this body? I am saying it's my body. My parents are saying he is my son. They're my son. So they are saying. Wife is saying he is my husband. Children are saying he is my father. So whose is this? So that's a question, right? it is a how do you call it? It's a matter of confusion, isn't it? It's matter not settled yet. It's been going on since the beginning. Who sees this body? Wife will always say he's my husband. So does it belong to her then? Or husband will say it's my wife. So does man body is wife's body is his body then. Similarly, children will say the same thing. Or parents will say he is my son. So this body is also their wealth. Is it their wealth? So this way, but on one thing we all know, that death can take away this body anytime from this world. So whose body is this? Does it belong to the parents? And again, does it belong to the father or to the mother? The question comes. From mother, the child has come from the mother. But we all know that father has come from the mother as child. So whose is the body then? This is the question, right? Parents will think he is my son or daughter because of their asakti, attachment towards them. Parents will say that, right? And they'll be thinking like that all the time. That after all, he is my son. After all, he is my daughter. That's the way the parents will think, right? And then they grew up. Throughout the childhood, it's like that. When they have grown up, say about 20, 25, another person comes into their life, he puts a claim on that body. Husband or wife. Then they put the claim. They are saying that So the girl whom you thought it was your daughter has become the son-in-law, his property. Straight away, overnight, it changed the registration. Changed to the other side, right? And then he puts his claim on her, on the girl, saying that it's my wife. So that identity becomes stronger at that time, and the other identity for 20 years as the son, as the daughter of a parent, has gone. Two people can't claim the same wealth, identity, isn't it, as their own. So how this identity changes from one to another. Father and mother thought that, oh, she's my daughter all the time, and showed all love, affection to me, and just because he married doesn't mean that he's not going to be our daughter anymore, and all, they will say like that. But the fact remains that from then on she's going to listen to them, to her husband, or live with the husband, and they will make the decisions what they think is suitable for them. They'll go on like that. And by then your claim and all has gone now. You can't claim anymore. Claim is finished, right? So, so another person comes, husband, and he puts his claim on, right? And so suddenly after 20 years or 25 years, this has happened, right? Then they are going to work, isn't it? Man and these days women also all go to work, right? So the employer is feeding them. Employer is giving them the money to live in this world. They are working, no doubt, but they are giving the livelihood for them, for both of them, right? Whom we call as the employers, right? And so he is saying that he is working for me. That means I have the right over him. Whoever be the employer, he has got control over this body then. So it is changing all the time, the ownership is changing, right? And he thinks that when there is not much job, many jobs to do, you will somehow try to hang on to the work what you got, isn't it? So practically, the employers also knows that situation. And they'll make sure that they will exploit as much as possible. And they think that you are their property. And they want you to use, they will use us for all their, whatever, you know, activities they are busy with. They are building up the business. You are a part of the team, they say. they got all these kind of beautiful words. But if you look at it deeply, you can see what it is that you become their slave. That's what this team means. You become their slave. But in a polished way, they put it, we are part of a team and all kinds of things, right? So at that time, the ownership goes to him. These parents have gone. Even husband, wife, all that becomes a second position because job becomes a priority above everything else. That means he has the ownership on this body then, at that moment, right? After all that, you got retired and everything, after working for so many years and all these things. And then when you became very old, another one comes to put the claim, the fire. Fire is saying, when are you coming back to me, to this body? The fire is asking, when are you coming back? Because I have got a claim on you. That body is mine. And that's how the claim changes again. So started with the parents, ended up with husband and wife, then it went to the employer, and now finally it ended up with the fire. Fire is demanding that. So I have, it is fire's food, they call it. The food for the fire, right? So similarly, burning the body, then the animals are looking at it all the time, coming and looking at your body, when will you come? So that's my food. And they are looking at it, right? So they are saying this body is their food, right? And in this way, this body, nobody knows whom does it belong to, really, right? So they are all arguing each other, it is mine, it's mine, in this way, right? Even now, it's not decided to whom it belongs to, even today. is still not decided to who does this body belongs to. This is how this body is existing in this world, right? But at the same time, there is another person who thinks I am this body and who thinks this body is mine. And that is the jiva inside. You have to sit peacefully and look at all these options, different options, and then come to your own conclusion about it. How complicated the situation is about this body is concerned, right? So, Shastram is saying you are not the body. Body is not mine. Body is not for my enjoyment. This is Shastram teaching us, right? Because whether I like it or not, I can identify with the body. No problem doing that, right? But death doesn't think like that. And whether I like it or not, death will take away this body from me. I can keep on identifying with the body, but at the end, death will take it away from me. The body will be taken away, right? So that is what he is saying in that verse, yeah? Evam sadharanam deham avyakta prabhavapyayam ko vidvan almasal kratva handim jannur nade asataha. Right? It has come from nowhere, avyaktam. And where is it going? Avyaktam. No answer to that. In this, but it is there. All these bodies are existing for a short period of time. And we, with that body, we are identifying with that as we are. That means to make us aware that there is something basically wrong with our identity itself. I am falsely identifying with something which I am not. This is what Shastram is doing. Shastram is making clear to us, your problem is with your identification problem. That thinking, identifying with the body. And who else? Only one who is identifying with the body will do such a thing. So, so he becomes proud with that body, identify with that, and give trouble to other living entities. He is the most stupid person, Mudha, right? And that means one who identify with this body and due to that and making it big thing, so you got a body, right? And becoming proud of that and for the sake, benefit of this body, giving trouble to others, right? And that's what he said. Then he says, and then this Shri Madam, Aishwarya Madam, or opulence with which what we said all the problems come, the solution to the problem. Antadash asada shri madhandasya daridryam paramanjanam atmavam yena bhudani daridra parameshade. Daridryam is the answer for that. When he says, if Shri Madam means Aishwarya Madam, and if it increases in a person and he becomes blind due to that, to such a person, his disease, the medicine is poverty. The medicine is poverty. Put that person into poverty, then he will understand, he says. So, daridryam is poverty. That is the medicine for that, right? Daridra bhudani atma vamyena padam ikshade. If you are very poor, then you will be kind to other living entities. You will feel compassion for others. And you will see them also like you. Alpaduliyam, right? Daridra paramiksh alpavam yena bhudani. And therefore you won't give trouble to others. If you are poor. If you are very, very poor, then due to that, you will feel compassion for other living entities. And you will be hesitant to give trouble to another living entity. That's medicine, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there. For Aishwarya Madam, the medicine is daridryam. Daridryam is the medicine, right? And so, the problem what happened is that due to Shri Madam, due to opulences, one becomes wicked and he loses his Viveka Chakshusa. That means he is not able to see things in a proper way. And for him, Daridram is a medicine. Suddenly, if all the wealth is lost, right, and if you don't have money to buy food for one time in a day, even for a meal, if you have to starve, right, then this eye will open, our Vivekam Chakshusa will open. That is when that he will be able to start seeing life in the proper perspective, right? Just like you saw what happened to Bhikshu in the Bhikshu Gita, isn't it? Same thing happened to Bhikshu in the Bhikshu Gita. When he lost everything, nobody was showing any compassion towards him, right? So at one time he was a very wealthy person. In the very next moment he became a pauper, right? And nobody showed any compassion to him for what happened, right? And when everything was lost, right, even his wife and children didn't show any compassion to him. Even they didn't show anything, mercy to him, right? So he's taught like that. Why did this happen? Bhikshu thought about it. Why did this happen, right? How come that my wife or children are not showing any kind of any compassion towards me in my situation? Why are they not showing anything towards me? After all, they are my wife and children, is it not? So, and till that day, what was the reason for that? Till that day, this person, Bhikshu, really he didn't love anybody, neither his wife or children, right? And he never spoke one nice word to anyone either. And not even to wife or children, because mind was so absorbed in money. So even though he had sufficient wealth, he didn't show any compassion towards or any nice words he has spoken to anybody. His mind was always focused on wealth, right? And he didn't even fulfill their desires. They also had desires, right? Even though he had the means to do it, he didn't do it, right? So when he got, similarly when they got sick, he didn't take care of them very well in their disease conditions, right? So, because he didn't fulfill their desires, didn't show any love or compassion to them, he realized that I have no right to claim anything from them. And he also realized that even though I have come to these conditions now, others are not showing any compassion towards me, because when I had a lot of wealth, when I was capable of showing some compassion and capable of helping others, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything, he said. So in good times when I didn't do anything for them. In this way, he is coming to the conclusion that all this anartham in my life, what has happened, the cause behind that is only wealth. Wealth has caused this situation. Means he realized that wealth has taken away all the good qualities from him. Good qualities means truthfulness, compassion, kindness to others, recognizing the other living entities also, their right to exist, and things like that. All that thing, he felt that he has lost it because of the presence of excessive wealth in him, right? And the reason why he became so wealthy was That was all what you wanted in life. Dhanatrishna, right? So, when he lost everything, this realization came back to him, right? And that is when he said those Bhikshu Gita, right? So, Srimadam, due to opulences, when one loses this discrimination power or compassion to others, the one thing that will open his eyes is poverty, daridrya. That's the only thing he will understand, that's the only language he will understand, right? So, the only then he will realize there are other people living in this world like me. They also have a right to exist. I have no right to take more than what I need. This realization will come to him, right? So, and like me, I am feeling hunger. Others also feel hunger. All this recognition will come from him when he doesn't get his own food. You remember what happened in Bhikshu's case? That ultimately he begged and begged and begged, finally somebody gave him some food. And he wanted to eat the food, he went to the river bank, kept the food, washed his hands and face, everything, and came back to sit and eat. Then the cowherd boys who were present there, they took the sand and put it in his food. After such a struggle, he got that food, but he couldn't eat it even. It was law. That is what it is. That's what it is saying here, right? And he could understand that his own actions are responsible for this situations to happen. In the same way, other things also, food, clothing, shelter, everything, right? So, just like I experience happiness and distress, others are also experiencing happiness and distress in life, right? So, and that is, like I am feeling the happiness and distress, same way others also feel happiness and distress. That samabhavana, to think like that, comes to a person due to poverty. Only through poverty this lesson will come. That's the message. We'll continue after break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhaumaha davati nirvavanam Shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam vadapurnam radaswadhanam Sarvatna subhanam varam vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam namagari bahuda nija sarva shakti Tatarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrashi tavakriba bhagavan mamabhi Durdaiva me drishamiha janinanuragaha Trinarabhi shunijena tarorabhi sahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadishakamaye Mama janmani janmani shuri bhavadad bhaktirahai dugitvai Ayi nandatanyu jakingaram padidamam shami bhavambudu Krubayatava pada pangajasthita duli sadrisham vichindaya Nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira Pulagair nijidam kadavabu tavannam agrahane bhavishyadi Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam Shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe nami Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva Yadha thadava vidadadulam vado Atpranamathasuna evanapara Sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam Govinda govinda Shri Narada Maharshi gives the remedy for this Aishwarya Madam, Shri Madam it's called. Shri Madam means due to opulences in life, what the pride that comes, right? So he's recommending the medicine for that. That's what that verse is here. Asada Shri Madhandasya Daridrim Paramanjanam Almaubomyena Bhudani Daridra Paramikshade. If opulences Shri. Due to that, when one gets, one loses his vision or becomes affected by the opulences, the medicine for that is daridryam, poverty. Daridryam paramanjanam, he says. Daridra paramikshade. In other words, only a poor person can see other living entities same as him. This is what Narada Maharshi is saying. A poor person can see other living entities also same as him, right? And therefore he won't give pain to another person, right? And he gives an example for that. Yadha kandaga vidhango jandor nechari mam vittam vyadham jiva samyam gadau linger na tadha vidha kandaga. Suppose you are walking and a thorn got into your feet and you got the pain from that, yeah? And then when you are walking, if you find a thorn lying in the street, you will pick it and take it away and throw it on the side. Because you know how painful that is if a thorn gets in and you feel the pain from that, right? So one who has experienced the suffering, he will know what suffering is. One who has not experienced suffering in life, he won't understand what suffering is. That's what he's saying here. That a person suffered from the thorn and he will remove the thorn from this pathway, footpath or whatever it is, and take it out and put it somewhere else, right? Whereas one who has never suffered a pain from the thorn, he won't bother. He will just walk his way, right? Similarly, he says here, one who has experienced the suffering of hunger, one who has experienced hunger in life, he will understand when somebody says that he wants food or somebody else's hunger. He will feel it because he has suffered from hunger. He knows how painful that is, suffering from hunger. So he can feel for the other suffering. Other suffering due to hunger, right? So, his situation may have changed in life. In childhood, he suffered heavily due to family circumstances. He didn't have enough to eat. He had starved. But somehow the other life changed and then he became wealthy. But he will always remember his childhood, what happened in the childhood. He will remember that, right? So if somebody comes to visit or ask for food, he will be happy to give food to that person. On the other hand, one who never experienced hunger, and if someone comes to him and asks for food, he will say, "Why are you begging? Why don't you go and work?" And things like that. He will ask him, "Why don't you go and find a job? You're a young person. Why do you beg?" And think he'll ask such questions to him, right? Because this person hasn't suffered from hunger. So, this is a difficult thing. I know in life, for example, a person comes to you with a request for help, right? Quite often we think that he's come to cheat. He shouldn't be giving, and anything should be given to him, right? He may be that way inclined. He could be cheating, right? But still, something should be given. That is the underlying principle, right? According to capacity, right? But to think about somebody that he is a fraud and not to give anything is wrong. It's a difficult principle to accept, isn't it? Because the other way it has been drilled into our head that you shouldn't give to anybody who is not honest and everybody is a cheater. this is pumped into our head. Everyone is a cheater in this world. So you have to be very careful guarding yourself all the time. That's not the right thing to do from spiritual position, right? So, whichever way is our heart, accordingly see others as well in the same way, right? If somebody asks for something, never to send him back with empty-handed, right? So this adhiri devo bhava, adhiri seva, right? It's not only food alone, giving food alone. On the other hand, other requirements are also there in life. You may not be able to fulfill everybody's desire totally, but something should be offered in that situation, right? For example, medical treatment, education, or marriage. In situations like that, people may approach you for different ways for help, right? But not to think that they're all come to cheat us and therefore guarding and completely refusing to them is not the right thing to do. That's what he's saying here. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's wife, Sharada Devi, she had many disciples on her own she was also pretty very well advanced spiritually, right? And in their village, which is called Kumarapukur, that village, that was not very developed or anything. Old villages, right? And that time, there was no much of an economic development. And so, because of that, there was no facilities for treatment and all that. If you get sick, there was no facilities, right? And if they had, the local people, if they wanted any medical help, they were to go to the city, to the town, where it is possible, right? And that was quite a long distance. And transport facilities are also very poor in them days. So from the village, they had to go a long way for the treatment, right? And travel, there's no much of a bus services or traveling facilities, nothing, right? So one of her disciples opened a dispensary, a small facility for treatment, what they call dispensary, right? Dispensing chemists or what do they call it. So he decided to give free treatment with his capacity and medicine free. And medicine is free and treatment is also free. Whatever that was available at that time, he was willing to offer that, right? So some rich people, they started exploiting the situation. They will also come for the treatment. And he didn't know what to do because his resources are also limited. And these rich people are coming and asking for help, right? So he went and told Sharada Devi that this is the situation. What do I supposed to do? People who can afford and who have the money to go to the town and look for treatment, they are not doing it. They come to me. So should I give it to them? So Sharada Devi told them that if somebody asks you something, then whether he is rich or poor, he should be considered as a beggar. Whether rich or poor, doesn't matter, right? Then you have to accept him as a beggar. Don't have to avoid anyone, whether he is rich or poor, right? And when the person who is coming, whether he is exploiting the situation, or he is really genuinely he needs help, you don't have to make that decision about him, right? Try and do what you can within your capacity, he said. That was her advice to him. Because daridrim or poverty brings a person close to liberation. In four verses that is spoken, if you look at it. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this. Being poor in life is not a bad thing. It brings you closer to self-realization. How? That's what he's explaining there. Daridro niraham sambho mukta sarvamadeiriha krishram yadrchayapnodi taddi tasya param tapa. one becomes free from ahankaram. Ego goes away. He gets subdued in his ego, disappears. And one who has become totally free from all kinds of madam, all kinds of madam, he becomes very poor, and by force of the nature, he is suffering all kinds of things in life. That is his austerity in life. That turns into austerity in life. That means it's forced upon him, but it has happened to be his austerity in life. You remember all the great kings, they went to the forest giving up everything. Parikshit worked out giving up everything. Because as long as the wealth is there, it is very difficult to recognize the spiritual reality. Nityam kshukshama dehasya daridrasya annakankshina indriyan anishushyanti himsabhi vinivartade. Daily if you are feeling, struggling hard to get food, and you are suffering from that due to hunger, and your body has become weak, and a poor person who only wants some food to eat, his senses becomes very weak. Senses become very weak. Naturally, he won't have the propensity to do violence towards others. Daridra seva yujyande sadhava samadarshina sadbhikshinoditam tarsham tada arad vishuddhiri. So, to such people who are become very poor and struggling in life for want of essential things in life, suffering, struggling, that it is to them that pure devotees like to visit them, who have equal vision, right? Because poor person, daridran, he says, tam tarksham sadbhi kshinodi. The very poor people, that he becomes free from greed very easily. And he gets that from these visitors who come to him. And very quickly he gets purified inside, right? So that is what he is saying, that if you think that very rich people, will he not be liked by the pure devotees, great personalities, spiritual people? The answer is, sadhunam samachittanam mugunda charanayishinam upekshe kim dhanastambe asadbir asadashraye. His answer is, pure devotees who are balanced, samachittada, that means samadarshitvam, one who has that, and who are attached to Krishna's lotus feet, for them, they are not attracted to wealthy people. They are not attracted to wealthy people because for them, people who have opulences, a lot of opulences, and who are taking shelter of asadvastu, not sadvastu, asadvastu, such people's association, what do they need for? Why do they need it? These things we don't think in life. Spiritual life is all this. Not that I will have my association only with the wealthy lot. What's going on? That's what happens, isn't it? This understanding has gone away from them. That pure devotees, they were not looking for their association. But nowadays all the pure devotees are looking for their association. It looks like that, isn't it? So this is totally against the what Krishna, what Narada Maharshi is saying here. Yeah? Sadhunam samachittanam mugunda charanayishinam ubekshe kim dhanam stambham asadbi asadashraye. A sadhu means spiritually realized souls, samachittanam, who have gone beyond all these things, and you have mugunda charanayishinam, completely taken Krishna's shelter, for them to give up something, wealthy people and wealth and all that, is not a difficult thing. They don't need their association, he says there. Ubekshay kim dhanam stambhai asadbi asadashraye. That's all asat. This is all asat. Wealth is an asat. And that taking a shelter of that asat and their association is not good for the people in the spiritual path. That's what he's making it clear there. So, daridra or poor people, their good thing about them is they won't be proud. Because there is nothing to be proud of. So they won't be proud, right? There is nothing to be proud of, right? And therefore, he will not do anything or say anything which will offend others. He won't say like that, right? He will accept what comes by divine arrangement, yadrucheya, Krishna's arrangement. Whatever comes, he will accept that and live his life. And that is his austerity in life. That's his austerity in life, right? So hunger, diseases, all these things will come to him looking for him. It will come to him looking for him. And going through that is his austerity. He doesn't have to perform special austerities and penances. This itself is his austerity. Going through that poverty and going through that disease, condition, disease, experiencing that, accepting that, is his austerity of life, of the austerity of life, right? He doesn't have to perform separately austerities, you know, separately he doesn't have to perform any austerities and penances. This alone purifies him. Ultimately, we want to get purified. And purification is only possible when senses come under control. Senses will only come under control when you deny the senses for sense gratification. So forcefully, and it is imposed on us, forcefully, that we don't have the money to enjoy life. We don't have the body to enjoy senses. So diseases comes. Diseases opens our eyes inside. We open our eye. We realize that we automatically that ahankaram inside will come down. Automatically, right? So that's what he said there. That and people who don't have ego, ahankaram, devotees would like to visit them, talk to them, right? Not to wealthy people who are proud of their wealth and displaying their wealth, right? So basically what he's saying is, it is poor people who get the opportunity for satsangam. They will have interest in satsangam, right? So, because of poverty, the poor people will have some attraction for survival in this world, right? But this asakti, whatever he had, because he is poor, and therefore he may have asakti for attachment for things, right? But that attachment will leave him through satsangam. That whatever attachment will have, he will leave that through satsangam, right? So, because of that, through satsangam, his mind will turn towards Krishna. Towards Krishna, right? So, he will realize that actual happiness is Krishna. He will realize first, before it happens to a wealthy person. A rich person won't realize Krishna as easily as a poor person. Poor person has a better chance of realizing that actual happiness is in Krishna than from senses, sense enjoyment. This realization will come to him first, right? So, and what he gets from sense enjoyment is very limited. Therefore, he will come to this understanding that food is only for removing the hunger, nothing more than that. Unlike a rich person who needs so many dishes if he has to eat. a poor person will be simply satisfied with some food, whatever he can get, and he will be happy about that, right? So he knows the food is for removing the hunger, and drinks are for quenching the thirst, right? And similarly, clothes is not particular. Any clothes, so long as it can cover his nakedness, that's enough for him. He doesn't think, he is not particular about the quality of the clothes he's wearing. So he might not have much of an interest in all these things. Even the essential things like food, clothing, shelter and things like that, right? And he will all be more conscious that Krishna is present in everybody as Antaryami, that awareness. And therefore, his happiness is there. And therefore, he will be more attracted towards Ishvara Upasana, Krishna Upasana, right? So, due to that understanding from the Satsangam, his attraction for even good food and shelter and all that, even that will gradually go away from him. So that is what he was saying here, that the sadhunam samachittanam, sadhunam samachittanam mukunda charaneshinam ubekshe kim dhanastambe asadbir asadashraye. Yeah, asadbir asadashraye. So, samachittada means that balanced vision, yeah? And due to tamogunam, fallen into very difficult situation, yeah? And unable to, tamogunam creates that situation. We lose our power of discrimination, right? And similarly, due to tamogunam, only alcohol and other things, consuming that, he's saying here, these our Malagavara and Manigriva. Tattaham mattayor madhva varunya shri madhandhayoho tamo madam harishyami strayanayor ajidalmanaha. Ajidalmano. These, due to intoxication, yeah? They are intoxicated, both Nalakavara and Manigriva. Added to that, the Shri Madam, Aishwarya Madam. Due to that, they have gone blind. And then, naturally, as we said before, through Aishwarya Madam comes the four problems. Yeah. So, due to that, they have become attracted to women, enjoying the women, and that means they have not lost control of their own senses, right? And it's all come from that Aishwarya Madam, and that Madam, I am decided to destroy that in them. Sri Narada Maharshi thought like that, right? They should not come to me like this anymore, because they were not even wearing clothes and they were going to see Narada Maharshi standing there, right? And and Narada Maharshi thought that they didn't feel any hesitation to come like that in front of them, right? Therefore, they shouldn't come like this anymore. Let them stand there like trees for some time. So, but when they are standing there like trees, they will remember as trees why this situation happened to them. That remembrance they will have it because of my blessing. Narada Maharshi decided like that. That is how he cursed them. That you become the trees, but while standing as trees, you will remember who you were before and why you got this body now, tree's body. And you will remember that. Narada Maharshi says there. So, therefore, yadimau logabalasya putrau bhutva tamaplodau na vivasa samalpmanam vijani da sudurmadau adorhadastavaradam syadam naivam yatha puna smridisyan madprasadena tatrabi madanugrahan vasudevasya sanidhyam lebdhva divya sharachade vritte surlogadam bhoyo lebdha bhakti bhavishyada. They are children of Kuberaya, and but due to this tamagunam that is caught in them, and this aishwaryamadam, due to that, they cannot even know that their bodies are not covered, and in this naked way they are standing there. So they shouldn't be like this, and therefore they should become the tree's body, but even in that tree's body, they will remember what their actual position is, that they are Kuvera's children. And not only that, 100 divine years, Divya Samvatsaram, when that is over, due to my blessing, they will get the association of Vasudeva, Krishna, and they will come back to their original form and become pure devotees after that. So, Narada Maharshi's curse was not a wrong thing for them. In that sense, that even though he cursed them, that when they get liberated, they'll become devotees, pure Parama Bhagavata, pure devotees, right? So in this way, Sri Narada Maharshi cursed them and blessed them and left. He cursed them and blessed them and left. Yeah. So, Krishair Bhagavata Mukhyasya. So, evam muktvasa devarshir gato narayanashramam. Siddhartha Maharshi went to narayanashramam. Naranarayana Rishi's ashram in Badrinath. Nalaguvara manigrivam, manigriva vasadur yamala arjunavum. And these two personalities, Nalaguvara and Manigriva, they became Arjuna trees. They became Arjuna trees, right? And their nature is spoken here. Hrishayar bhagavata mukhyasya satyam kartam vajo hari jagama shanagai satra yatrasam yamalarjuna. Krishna, remembering Narada Maharshi's curse to them, and to make his word come true, on that day Krishna remembered that. And Krishna went up to those trees, dragging his mortar along with him. Yeah? And he says there, Devarshime priyatamau yadimau dhanadalpmajau tathada sadhayishyami yadgidam tanmahalpmanam. Why did Krishna go? Because Narada Maharshi is dear to Krishna. He says there, isn't it? Devarshime priyatamau. Not because of Nalaguvera and Manigriva. Because Narada Maharshi is dear to me. Narada Maharshi has given them this blessing that I will see them in this life and give them the liberation. Therefore, he says, Yadimau dhanadalpmajau. Apart from that, Kubera is also a devotee, their father. Lord Shiva's famous devotee. So this Nalaguvara Manigrivas, they are his sons, isn't it? Therefore, I have to make it happen. Saying that, Krishna goes to them, right? He says, Narada Maharshi is very dear to me, and they are Kubera's children. So both of them are dear to me. Narada Maharshi is dear to me. Kubera's children also are dear to me. Nala Kubera and Manigriva. Therefore, whatever Narada Maharshi has spoken, I have to make it true, happen. And due to my presence, they will get the liberation. And in that way, Krishna went to those two trees, right? And this 100 divine years is a very long period of time. Before that, they have changed their life many times. That means, in tree form, they have changed many trees. many different trees form they have taken, right? So, but in every time when they got a tree's body, they remembered the life of Kubera's children, right? And that means they realized that why they had to take a tree body every time. That awareness they had all the time. Ultimately, after taking tree's body like this at different places, finally in Vrindavanam they got this body as these two trees, Nalakuvera and Manigriva. And Krishna came there as Damodara with the trees dragging there. And in order to bless them, Krishna came over. So, in that process, while pushing that thing, iti andarena arjunaya arjunayo krishnastu yamayor yayau alpa nirvesha matrana tiryagatam ulukhalam. Krishna got through the trees, but the mortar fell flat and it got blocked, right? Balena nishkarshadaya nulukhalam ta damodarena tarasad kalidangri bandhau nishpedadu parama vikramidadi vepam skanda pravala vidabhau kritachanda shabdhau. Krishna is pulling it very strongly, right? And in that force, due to Krishna's strength, these two huge trees, they fell on the ground, right? Tatra shriya paramaya kugubas murandau siddha ubete kujayo riva jata vedaha krishnam pranamya shirasa khila lokanatham baddha anjali virajasa vidamucha dusmam. Suddenly from those trees, two divine personalities came out. And they looked very divine nature, right? And both of them fell down, offered their obeisances to Krishna. And at this time, all that ego has gone. Srimadam, what they have had before, there was no ego at all. Without any problems, they could straight away offer obeisances to Krishna, right? So, so when that happens, right, such a long period of time that they had to, every time they changed in the tree form, they were standing like trees, and every time they changed the tree form, this memory have not left them of their life as Kubera's children, right? So now, by now, that ahankaram has gone from inside, and that way they have become devotees now, yeah? So that is why they say their sudhi is from now on. It's all their sudhi. What they are saying? Krishna Krishna Maha Yogi Tum Adya Purusha Para Vyaktam Avyaktam Idam Vishyam Rubam De Brahmana Vidu. Hey Sachidananda Murti, Sachidananda Brahmam, Ajindya Prabhava, yeah? Krishna Krishna, he says. Krishna Krishna is saying, this is Krishna is asking, I am a little boy, why are you paying obeisances to me? He is saying, right? Krishna hasn't said that, but in that way Krishna looked at their face, why are you paying obeisances to me in that way? So they are saying, Krishna Krishna Mahayogin, you are not an ordinary child. you are not a cowherd boy, right? Then what are you? Krishna Krishna, tvam adhyam purusha para, right? You are purusha para. Purusha para means that even you are beyond prakriti, material nature. Your material nature is under your control. And practically you are pure Sachidananda Brahmam. That means Sachidananda Brahma means you are even control of Maya, prakriti Maya, also under your control. Vedam says Purushas Purushatvam. That means you call somebody as Purusha, and there is Purushatvam is that he existed, Purusha existed even before prakriti. Purusha and prakriti is the concept in the Sankhya. So Sankhya, according to Sankhya Shastram, the two things exist, Purusha and prakriti. In Vedantam, it doesn't exist. Purusha and prakriti doesn't exist. There is only one. So, this is from the Sankhya. So, pure Sachidanandam, Brahmam, is you, right? That means even prakriti is under your control. So, before prakriti was born, you existed, Purusha existed. That means you are the Shashvata Satyam, Sachidananda Brahmam, right? And that means that you are the cause of all causes, you can say, right? Ulpati Nasham, you don't have. You are never born or you never get destroyed. One thing that exists for all the time, which means you are pure Chaitanyam or pure consciousness, Shuddha Bodham, right? Out of everything in this creation, the only thing that is not created is Bodham, consciousness. It's the only thing that's not created. Everything else is created, right? So, therefore, Bodham existed always, or Chaitanyam, it always existed. That's the only thing that is not created. Everything else is created. So, therefore, because Bodham was never created, and Bodham remains like that forever, without changing, therefore it is the Sat. And Paramananda, that is what he is saying here. Mahayogi tvam adhyam purusha para vyaktam avyaktam idam vishyam rubam te brahmana vidu. So, because it is the nature of that consciousness which is not created and it remains like that forever, it is the source of bliss as well from that. Therefore, that name Krishna, Krishna. Krish Dhatu means Satta, Satyam in other words, right? Means you are the truth. And Nakaram is the Anandam. Satta, Anandam, where are they present? In Chitta. In Chitta, right? So Satta, Chitta, Anandam. The Satta and Anandam is present in the Chitta Bodham. Chitta is Bodham. Satta is the reality, truth, absolute truth. That means it's never created. And all happiness or existence of bliss is the source is Him. So Satta and Anandam is present in the Chitta. In the Chitta. They are together. All three are, they are always together. All three together, right? So that Sachid Anandam was the one that existed even before prakriti, material nature, right? So and it remains as the cause of all causes, source of everything, everything, right? Para, so it says here, Purusha, para. Para means he controls prakriti as well, right? He existed even before prakriti, as the cause of even prakriti even, adhya, Purusha, para. Then, pure Sachidanandam. So in other words, it is making it clear that Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam is both this Sachidananda Brahmam. That's what it is proving here, right? And Mahalpa says that everything what we see in this creation is you, this Sachidananda Brahmam, right? And so one who is this famous example that if you are manufacturing a clay pot, the potter, he is the nimitta karanam. Clay is the upadana karanam. These words you have to remember. Nimitta karanam is the potter. Upadana karanam is the clay. Right. So, or you can say with gold, you make jewelry. So the goldsmith is the nimitta karanam. Gold is the upadana karanam. Right. So, but that is these two examples, right? You can't put that straightly here. Why? Because in the case of creation, both the nimitta karanam and upadana karanam is one. It's the same. It is consciousness. It is consciousness creates, using consciousness, and creates this world. Therefore, nimitta karanam and upadana karanam are both consciousness. That's what he's saying here. So, or Krishna. Krishna is a nimitta karanam and upadana karanam for this world, right? In the beginning only Krishna was there. That means consciousness was there. Pure Satchidananda Brahmam, Satchidananda Paramatma, you can say. So therefore, upadana karanam and nimitta karanam is only Paramatma or Brahmam, which means Krishna projects this world in this form from himself. That's what we call it as creation in the Upanishads. Satchidananda Brahmam projects itself in front of us through Maya in this form. That's why they say that the world is not real. It's a projection it is. And that projection can go any time and the world is finished. It is different in the Vedic literature, this creation process spoken, yeah? So, he, within himself, he is projecting himself in this way to us. That means everything is him only. Nothing else exists him. That means within himself, he projects himself in this way to us. And so first thing that comes in him is Maya. Maya comes, right? So that aspect of Brahmam, Satchidananda Brahmam, which has joined Maya, he is the cause of Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam. He is the one. Pure Satchidananda Brahmam is not. First Maya has to appear, and with Maya's help, all this creation happens. So, you can say like this, Satchidananda Brahmam with Maya is the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam of that. Because in pure Satchidanandam, nothing can change. It has to remain as it is, right? So whatever we are seeing in the creation, gross, subtle, sulam, sushmam, karyam, karanam, whatever you are seeing in this creation, is all transformation of Maya. Maya's transformation it is, right? Krishna remains as pure Satchidanandam who gives reality to everything what Maya has created. So, but for us now, in our present state, this creation which has come from Maya, we are seeing that as though it is separate from Krishna. But that is the power of Maya. Maya is able to give us this understanding that this is all separate from Krishna. World is separate, Krishna is separate. This is very deep inside every one of us, is it not? We are not able to get over it. It's a very big barrier Maya has created between the world and Krishna. Maya has put the wedge there. And therefore it's very difficult to get out of it. That's why we feel this world is separate from Krishna. And people say that Krishna is somewhere else. He is not present here. He is somewhere now taking rest or doing something else, somewhere else. We have to go there to see him. We can't see him here. You have to go after. That's how this belief systems have got this problem. All belief systems are on that basis, is it not? We say we go to Golokam or Vaikuntham or Kailasam. Somebody else says they have their own heavenly planet, Surgalokam, where they say, where they will enjoy. So, all belief systems are on that basis. Vedantam, no. Vedantam says, this world, as it is, we are experiencing now, is Krishna's another form. Krishna is very much here and present, and because of Krishna's presence only, we feel this world is existing. But the problem is that we feel the world is separate from Krishna. We feel like that. That is due to the effect of Maya in that. So, that is a misunderstanding Maya creates, right? For example, from the soul, the space came, Akasham. And how did Akasham come? Akasham comes because from pure consciousness, when it mixed with Maya, the first thing came out was Akasham. And then Krishna is present through Maya, even in the Akasham. Krishna is present there. Akasham means Akasham with Sachidananda. Right? Akasham is coming from Maya. But in there, Sachidananda is present. But at the same time, it gives impression that, Maya creates impression that this Akasham or space is separate from Sachidanandam. It creates that perception in us. Yeah? And that perception Maya creates, actually what is present is only Sachidanandam. Right? So that is why to define Maya is very difficult. Does it exist or doesn't exist? It's a difficult thing to say, right? Anirvachaniyam, they use the word. Anirvachaniyam, cannot be defined, right? On the one hand, it creates a feeling that it exists. And it is on that concept we are accepting all the other further transformation from space to air, air to fire, fire to water, water to earth and all that. On the assumption that Maya does exist. On that, right? So, in this way, whatever we are perceiving now, separated from Krishna, as we are perceiving now, all the Namarupam, they are all Karyam. Karanam is the Andaryami, from where everything started. So, Maya is only a cause of all these things. Transformation that is happening, Maya has that one, this transformation that is happening, then able to give us this impression in us that this is whatever Maya has created is all separate from Krishna. Separate from Krishna. So this is because of that, all the Namarupam we are perceiving now. So we feel that everything exists separately. Namarupam exists separately. On the other hand, we know that Namarupam will disappear one day. So what's real then in this? So that is why it is called Anirvajaniya Chaniya Pratibhasam. That's a word in the Shastram for that. So permanently the truth what exists in all these things is Krishna. Right? And what we are doing is, what we have to understand is, in all these Namarupam in this creation, what really exists there is pure Sachidanandam, right? In this way, Karyam Karanam, everything in reality it is Sachidanandam, right? So, in the form of Namarupam, name and form, it is Mayamayam, it is Maya, right? But, Maya Srishti it is, Maya's creation it is, right? And you cannot say, whether it is real, whether it exists or not. Why? Because it doesn't exist permanently. Temporarily it exists. After some time it disappears. Our body, if you take, now we identify with the body and we are very strongly identifying with it. We feel our existence itself is this body. To such an extent we are. But one day when this body completely disappears, what reality has it got? So, for a short period of time, when you are looking at it through senses, it's a reality. But if you are not looking at through senses, and if you are not accepting the name and form, it's not real also. So both sides are right, isn't it? It's not real, at the same time it exists, temporarily, right? So, just like a magician, when he shows a magic, that because of that, whatever he is creating in his magic, while he is doing it, it's real for us. Later on, when he closes his show, nothing existed there. So many things they do with magic, isn't it? Big magicians, they have that power to do such powerful magic that you start wondering how they did that when you see that. It's the same thing with this creation also, right? So, similarly, due to Krishna's presence only, that this all this Namarupam in this creation, they get their reality of existence. Yeah? So, if you take them on their own, leaving Krishna behind, then they are not real and they don't have any meaning, like our body. It doesn't mean anything if Krishna is not there, Antaryami, isn't it? So, that is what they are saying here. Vyaktam avyaktam idam vishwam rupam de brahmana vidu. All that is covered in that one line. Vyaktam avyaktam idam vishwam rupam te brahmana vidu. Brahmana vidu. And then he says, the controller of this is also yours. That's what he's saying in the next verse. Tum eka sarvabhudanam deham swatmendriyeshwara. Tum eva kalo bhagavan vishnu avyam ishwara. Only you have come and you have transformed itself. You have controls all these things. What all? The body, the life air, pranam, our ahankaram, our senses. You are the controller of all that, right? So, Bhagavan Ishvara Vishnu Stumeva. All the opulences and the control is in your hands as Vishnu. Therefore, time is also under you. It is you, right? And in this way, the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam, and giving reality to all the Namarupam that is present in the creation, one who is present in all of that, it's you. Nalakavera and Manigrava is saying to Krishna, right? And the reality, what we see in them, is also because of your presence, right? So, the Karya Karanam, that aspect of it, right? Karanam is absolute truth, isn't it? Shuddha Satchidanandam, pure Satchidanandam. Pure Satchidanandam, no change can happen. Because it is pure Satchidanandam, Brahma. So, from that pure Satchidanandam, creation cannot come, cannot happen. Because pure Satchidanandam doesn't change at any time. So, if you look at things, you will see that, say material elements, we have spoken this many times before, from everything is made of five material elements. So if you look at it, all material elements, at the final stage, one goes back into the previous one. Earth goes back to water, water goes back to fire, water goes back to fire, goes back to air, air goes back to space, in that way, right? And further space comes from Maya, and Maya comes from Satchidanandam. Satchidanandam, right? So pure Satchidanandam, nothing can come. But when Maya comes in, all these appearances come. Creation, Namarupam, everything, right? So, for the sake of Maya, as a Pradibhasam. Pradibhasam means, it is not real, but is an apparent reality. Apparent reality it is. In that way, the world is coming. The world is coming in front of us. And that is why it is called Mayamayam. Remember? Krishna said this. very strongly. There also, and in many other places also, he used that word, always he used that word, maya maya. You cannot think of this world as real. It is maya. And that Krishna drives strongly into our head to see the world in that way. He began like that, Vidhi Maya Manomayam. Then if you go further and further, in several places he will say this, that it is maya. It is maya. Actually, there is only Krishna present here, right? But we think that there is something else existing separate from Krishna, right? And that is called Mithya Pratibhasam, right? And Mithya Pratibhasam here. But if you think about it, right? if you think about it, you realize that this cannot be true, right? When you don't think about it in that way. Suppose you are not thinking about this world. What will you see? How will you feel about this world? You will think it's real. If you don't think about it, right? Like everybody else, in the same way, right? But for those who are thoughtful, those who are able to see the way rishis have spoken, then they will have to accept this, that this world is not real. Mithya Pratibhasam, that's the word for that. Mithya Pratibhasam. It is from that Upanishads are saying, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, isn't it? It is, that is what that statement is saying. You see, quite often people don't understand it properly and they misunderstand everything. This Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya Jiva Brahma Iva Napara, that statement, right? So, then he said this, Tvameka Sarobhudanam Deha Swalpendriyeshwara Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnu Avyayam Ishwara. Again, in that verse, Nalakavera and Manigriva is expanding on that. Yeah? You are the person, you are actually the body of everybody. Everyone's body is you. Because ultimately analyzing our body, what is it? Five material elements. Where did they come from? Came from Maya. And where did Maya come from? It is again Brahma, Sachinanda Brahma, right? So, gross body, then deham, asu, pranan, our life air, energy inside us, the soul, ahangaram, ego inside us, our senses, all of them are under your control. Because it's all come from you, right? Why? Because prakriti gets agitated when kalam comes. Kalam. Kalam is behind it, right? So that kalam is the cause of prakriti's agitation. Or you can say nimitta karanam. Prakriti is the upadana karanam. Purusha is the controller, right? So, but in all of them, you are present as Ishvara, right? So, Kalam is you, which is the Nimittam. And Upadanam, which is called Prakriti, is also you. Both are you, right? Whether in the form of Kalam or in the form of the Prakriti. Either way. It is both you, right? So when you say Purusha here, it is on the basis of, on the position as glancing over the Prakriti, material nature, right? And in Brahmam, pure Sachidanandam, in pure Sachidananda Brahmam, Maya comes. Maya comes. And in that Maya, what is normally said in the Upanishad, Bahushyam Prajayate. In other words, a thought comes or a sangalpam comes that I want to become many. And that's when creation comes, right? And that thought that comes in him, in that Maya, to become many, is what is called a glancing over material nature. You must have read that in the book. Purusha glancing over the material nature. Glancing means kadaksham, or glancing means this appearance in Maya of the of one Maya to become many. To become many. In the form of all the living entities and all the other things, oceans, mountains and everything, all the different types of things, right? So very small part of that, Sachidananda Brahman, pure Sachidananda Brahman, is what enters into Maya. So in that way, Purusha is also a Sachidanandam's part of that, right? And Sachidanandam's power is, another potency is this Prakriti, right? And similarly, Kalam also is a potency of the Sachidanandam, right? So, the potency, Shakti and Shakta, that means the power, energy or the energetic, or the power and the potency, they are not too different. The person who owns, in whom everything exists, and his potency, they are one and the same. Because in Krishna or in the Brahman, Maya appeared, right? So Maya cannot be different from him. It is in him it appeared. So it has come from him, right? So, but again, impossible to define that power called Maya, right? And at the same time, it is dependent on Krishna. And that is what in the first canto says. If you look into the first canto, fifth chapter, I think, it says that. Seventh chapter, sorry. Fourth verse. 174. Vedavyasa Maharshi Suta Goswami is saying this, right? Vedavyasa Maharshi sat in his ashrama and he reflected inside. At that time, he got this realization. What is that? Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihide Amale Abhashyal Purusham Purvam Mayamcha Tadubhashrayam. You see that statement? What he is saying here, when bhakti developed in his heart to such a higher level, that and mind was very focused at that time, he saw Purusha standing there, Purusha was there, and Maya also side by side, dependent on Purusha. Maya was dependent on Purusha. That's what he's saying. Apashyal Purusham Purvam Mayamcha Tadubhashrayam. Yeah? And if you look at the next verse, he says, Yaya Sammohido Jiva Almanam Trigunalmadam Parobi Anude Anartham Talkradam Chabi Padyade. Jiva's case, Jiva's position, right? In reality, Jiva also does not belong to Maya. Jiva does not belong to Maya. He is beyond the three modes of nature. But Jiva, under whose influence, starts accepting the body as his identity, body as the self, that Maya, he says. And he says, due to that, all inauspicious things happens to him. So you see in two verses, Vedavyas put it, Suta Goswami said that. But if you study those two verses, you can see what Maya has done. What he is saying is, Maya created this bodily identity for us. It is Maya, not our prarabdham. Maya created the bodily identity. There itself everything has gone wrong from that day. After that, we engaged, because of bodily identity, we started doing karma. Because we want happiness through the body. For that we engage in karma. Karma created karma vasana. That created further birth and death and birth and death, cycles of birth. Avidya, kama, karma, karma vasana. Like this, progression happened after that. Everything began with Maya. Maya created bodily identity in us. That is what that is saying. Yaya sammohido jiva ആത്മാനം ത്രിഗുണാത്മകം പരോപി മനുദേ വരുന്നേ അനർത്ഥം തൽക്കൃതം ചാപി പദ്ധ്യതേ. ദീസ് ആർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് വേഴ്സസ് ഇൻ ദി നൌ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ശുഖബ്രഹ്മർഷി ഹാസ് പുട്ട് ഓൾ ദീസ് വാട്ട് ഹി വാണ്ട്സ് ടു ടെൽ സ്ട്രേറ്റ് അവേ ഓൺ ദ ഫേസ് that it has come from Maya. Maya created bodily identity, and that's what we are fighting against to get out of that. So it's not going to be an easy fight, in other words. You will need many, many, many more retreats. So, Hare Krishna. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.